It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me right now is a true renaissance man, in addition to being an advocate for education, as well as being an athlete and an entrepreneur and an author as well. We'll talk more about that in a bit. He's also a doting grandfather, a loving husband, and a fantastic father, and also a baseball awards presenter and a skier when ski season returns, of course, and the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Thank you, J-Dog. And my guest is probably the only one in the sound of our voice who will know who Eddie Papowski is. But I'm going to test that question with my guest, who is Rob Grable, who is the head coach of Hanover High School boys soccer. But much more than that, he's an associate pastor at the Church of Christ at Dartmouth College. All around great guy. Someone that I've known since the late 1990s when the travel teams were competing against each other. Mr. or Reverend Rob Grable. Rob, thanks for joining me.
Tom, it's great to be here. And Eddie Papowski was one of the great third base coaches, best fungo hitter the Red Sox ever had.
A plus. And do you remember? I knew you would know. And just dating ourselves a little bit. But I must say, Reverend Grable, that I actually know more of the names from the 67 Red Sox than the current edition. I'll just leave it at that. And remember, Eddie Papowski, in those days, they would throw the foul balls back to the pitcher if it wasn't.
If it wasn't scuffed up. Right.
Right. So if the ball wasn't scuffed up, but if the game was out of hand in those days, let's say 7-1, he would do this like backwards flip or something to get the ball back to the pitcher. But in any event, let's get right to it. So you obviously have an incredible resume in general and for life. And we know soccer is an important component, but it is just a component of life. So give us a little brief background on yourself. How I know you have landed and being a pastor is terrific and all the things you're doing. Give us a little background on yourself, and then we'll get right to the Lions Cup competition, because we want to make sure that people attend on July 15th in Hanover. So that's my little tease, but give the audience a little background on yourself.
Well, Tom, I, at the risk of dating myself, the first high school soccer game I coached in New Hampshire was 1975. Don't do the math. And so I've been plugged in with soccer. And that was, by the way, our first year for the Lions Cup, which I went to. Oh, my God, I just dated myself again. So I've always been doing the soccer on high school level or on college level or on youth level and enjoying it. You know, that's when we first hooked up in Bow, those many years ago. And I've always been going to church on Sundays, but after I retired from my day job 15 years ago, I got sort of called into more focused service in church. And I went through a long, challenging grad school, got a master's in divinity, got ordained. And I really like being the associate pastor at my church. I have a little more leeway than the senior pastor. I'm involved every week with preaching and teaching and so forth, but I get to travel. And as you know well, one of my trips to the Dominican Republic was a church trip that ended up with literally thousands of kids getting toothbrushes and toothpaste, thanks to you and Delta Dental, among others. And if you want to make a difference in the world and you can raise the health of several villages by doing children's dental hygiene, boom. So that's my church work. I went to Rwanda in March and played a little bit of soccer, but it was a church-related trip that allowed us to expose a lot of young high school students to important life experiences. So that's, you know, the ministry thing is very hands-on, very active. Mission trip in Mississippi earlier this year. And I work a lot in church, and they worry that I work too hard. And I've convinced them that coaching soccer on the side is my self-care. You know, it relaxes me and it takes away my stress. Well, coaching soccer on a D1 level, I wouldn't exactly describe as self-care, but I've been doing it long enough that I derive a lot of enjoyment for that. And you know, I've been following soccer in New Hampshire and Lions Cup soccer, high school soccer. And as you and I talked, we've been doing some histories and doing a little writing just to make sure to preserve what really is a tremendous history. You know, the Lions Cup that we're going to be embarking on in mid-July, only a couple weeks ahead, we are doing our 48th year. That's amazing.
It's amazing. It's getting to 50 years. We're going to get right into it, but a couple comments before we get into the Lions Cup. One, thank you. I was just last week or the week before, we had the Moore Center. I was recognized, and one of the quotes that I used was how society is measured is how much you are able to give back, and that was a variation of Coretta Scott King. So thank you for all your giving back, and you're right about sports being sort of our version of vacation. My board laments that I never take a vacation, but I tell them, you know, running road races on the weekend is like my respite. And so the book Stories from the Starting Line is out there. And I think even it's not about soccer, but it's about running, but I think you would enjoy it. And I'm happy to participate in looking at your Lions Cup transcripts. So thanks for all you do. And let's get right into the Lions Cup. So you mentioned the date being Saturday, July 15th. And the good news is Delta Dental is one of the sponsors. This year, all of the tickets, you know, that I left out in the cafeteria were taken. So you'll at least have a Delta Dental contingent there. But take it from there, Rob.
Well, as I said, this is the 48th year. And I think the best way to dive into it is to talk about how the Lions Cup renewed itself after being shut down by COVID. And you know, we're still kind of coming back from so many different enterprises and institutions making their way back. And 3 years ago, after cancellations, we dropped it in a new spot in Hanover and made it a leaner operation. No overnight stays for the participants. And that actually improved the game because as a one-day shot, our attendance was up from participants. We were able to field all the best players because a 3 or 4 day commitment kept some of them from participating. And so we started 3 years ago in Hanover. This would be our third year there. And the coaches and players and fans have loved the games and they like the location. And we've had, you know, 4 competitive games, 2 each, boys and girls, over the last 2 years. And really things are building up to a continuation of that. I think we're probably going to be as strong as we've ever been this year.
So 2 relatively small in terms of population states, New Hampshire and Vermont. We have, New Hampshire has roughly 1.3 million people. Many of those are older adults, though, so obviously not the population that you're drawing from for these games. And Vermont maybe has 700,000 people. So why do you think these two states have such tremendous soccer ability nationally, not just fierce competition amongst the two states, but why do you think disproportionately we have such great soccer?
I think there have just been giants who have helped grow the game. College coaches, local coaches and officials, you know, Tom, going back 50, 60, 70 years. And so there was always fertile ground for soccer to grow. It's a great school sport because it's so easy to participate in. You don't need tons of equipment. And so as a result, when soccer got started in the schools in the 50s in New Hampshire, it grew really, really rapidly. And it was something that, you know, smaller towns, not hard to field a soccer field, a soccer team. And so, you know, I love the arc of the history where the Hinsdales and the Newmarkets and the Sunapees and the Colebrooks have just as much juice in soccer. And, you know, that's fleshed out going forward. This year's Lions Cup rosters are so well represented from all over the state. Not just the big schools, you know, the Exeters and the Londonderrys and the Pinkertons and the Memorials, but also all the way up and down the ladder. And Tom, it's really fun too. A lot of capital area kids have been vital participants the last couple of years. You know, last year, couple of teammates from that great program at Hopkinton High School helped New Hampshire win a 4-1 victory over Vermont. And that broke a small losing streak. So we were pretty happy about that. And I actually have a couple of girls from Bow in my parlay for this year's team. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun to have Lizzie and Bella LaPearl from Bow be our leaders for the New Hampshire team coming up.
And do the student athletes in many situations, you know, during the earlier seasons, they're competing against each other. They get to know each other. That must be fun for them to experience that.
It is amazing. And even though they're not at camp overnight, they have a wonderful week. The week before, they spend the better part of an afternoon or a morning getting to know each other, practicing, you know, and this is all at Bedford High School. And shout out to Bedford High School for hosting both New Hampshire teams as a training spot. And again, centrally located, worked out very well. So these logistics have helped us put on a good games.
You know, when I talk to the Reverend Jay, like, we could go on for days, but I know you're watching the clock. So when we get back, we're going to talk about how you make the team and how this is different than the Granite Games that are going on the week of June 19th. And
right.
You know, when I think of Reverend Grable, I think of that quote that you can judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him, the way, you know, Rob gives back. So after the break, more on the Lions Cup. But Jay, you must be fascinated by this, being a Concord kid, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the New Hampshire versus Vermont rivalry, whether it's like the Shrine Maple Sugar Bowl game or the Lions Cup, which will be coming up, it'll be Saturday, July 15th at Hanover High School. The women's match will start at 1 p.m. The men's will start at 4 p.m. And we're going to talk more about that as Rob Grable, the Reverend, is here. The head coach of Hanover High School boys soccer, as well as associate pastor, Church of Christ at Dartmouth College. He's our guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We'll return with more after this on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog alongside president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Tom Raffio. This week's guest is the Reverend Rob Grable, and the Lions Cup is going to be coming up sooner than you think. July 15th, that's a Saturday at Hanover High School. It's going to be the women's, they start first at 1 p.m. and then the men's at 4 p.m. It's New Hampshire versus Vermont. Who's the best in soccer? We're going to find out in mid-July. So take it away, guys. You've been having a great conversation, not just about that, but also the Reverend's work as well with being an associate pastor at the Church of Christ at Dartmouth College.
And we'll talk about how close the competition is. But before I do, as a side note, I was telling my twin boys that I would be chatting with you. I didn't say, you know, public radio. So Brian and Matt, say hello, Reverend Grable. So start there. Can you tell us how you make this team? That's the first question. The second question, how it's distinct from the Granite Games that are going on the week of June 19th.
Right.
And third, there is a charity component of this as well, the Lions. I want you to talk about that as well. Proceed.
Excellent. Well, first of all, how the teams are selected. One of the things that makes this successful is that we've got a really good process. The Saturday after the seasons wind up, you know, the coaches have all met as a group and have all nominated players. And then there's a tryout in person. And it's at the New Hampshire Votech, same place as the Granite State Games. And you'll get on a Saturday anywhere from 30 to 50. And of course, it's limited to seniors. So it's the senior all-star game. And even in these tryout situations, the players know each other. They've been playing against each other, just as J-Dog mentioned. And so there's a real enjoyment. The game itself is very enjoyable. And then the coaches all retire, and a group of 15 or 20 coaches, one group for the boys and one for the girls, and they work by consensus. You know, they've got a really nice balloting procedure with the idea of fielding a competitive team and fielding a diverse team where all divisions are represented, so that it truly is an all-state team. And so we come up with the 22 best seniors in New Hampshire and Vermont. we come up with the best 22 players for this team. And secondly, you asked a little bit about what makes this a little bit distinct and unique from the Granite State games. And one of the differences is, of course, the Granite State games involves more players. There are anywhere between 60 and 75 boys and 60 and 75 girls that play, and it's not limited to seniors. In short, the Granite State games are pretty much like the New Hampshire High School Olympics. The state is divided into four regions, Southern, Coastal, Lakes, which includes Concord, and Monadnock, which can go all the way from Keene up to Littleton. And teams are put together both by tryouts and by invitation. A lot of really excellent coaches are involved. Heidi Crockett, the women's soccer coach at NHTI, Aaron Miller, the men's soccer coach at NHTI. And you want to talk about giving back. NHTI is a great host. And of course, it doesn't hurt to have 65 or 70 really good high school players running around your pitch. In fact, we have, Tom, another thing about the Granite State games that makes it an exciting event is how many college coaches show up. College coaches from New England College and from Keene State and from Plymouth and from Colby Sawyer all benefit from having a lot of really good players in a very relaxed setting. It's 4 days, round robin between the four teams, and then a championship and a consolation. So everyone gets four games. It's really collegial.
It's collegial. It's fun. Since it's right across the bridge from Delta Dental, I've watched a lot of it. Of course, it's led for many years by Patrick Mulcahy, who was in his day a great soccer player in his own right, and coached travel soccer for many years. Does a great job, keeping the games, thriving. And of course, with people like you leading the different sports, that's the other thing that differs from the Lions Cup. The Granite Games also have several other sports, so it's really cool. And as Rob said, it's mostly for underclassmen, but the quality is terrific. So back to the Lions Cup. So tell us, obviously, there's got to be the Lions Club involved. So tell us a little bit of how that works.
Well, it's critically important. The Lions Cup has done an astounding job. There is a Lions Twin States Soccer Association, and Lions from both sides of the river, New Hampshire and Vermont, spend a lot of time planning and preparing and staging and organizing. And this is one of their major charitable enterprises. They are raising money for sight assistance, primarily on the New Hampshire side of the river, and hearing assistance on the Vermont side of the river. And they have funded programs with thousands and thousands of dollars of contributions over the years. Players have been involved. Players do a really nice job helping with fundraising. Their local Lions clubs participate in this. And so the Lions have been a great partner with New Hampshire Soccer on our side and vice versa. And that's created some other very supportive relationships that carry over. And certainly we're very proud of the support we've had over the years for these important programs.
And it's all linked because you even had a player that took advantage of the hearing assistance and that whole process, right?
Yeah, that was very touching. We had a player now almost 19 years ago who was almost completely deaf. And he had benefited as a young boy going to the Vermont Austin summer camps and programs. And so for him then to get to play in that game as a senior, and he went on, actually, his name is Yosef Oshiak, went on to play for the U.S. National Deaf Team for three or four cycles over a period of 9 or 10 years. So fun to see the way, you mentioned, Tom, and you're pretty dialed in on this, how little New Hampshire can have such an outsized influence on a national level. And we keep sending New Hampshire, local New Hampshire homegrown kids to the pros and to top levels in college. And some of the players on this team, for both boys and girls, I commend you to keep an eye on them and follow them in the next two or three years as they head off to college and to beyond, because some of them will be fairly significant players.
You know, that's, again, the great thing about New Hampshire. We, Northeast Delta, we love to, you know, sponsor road races. There's always a connection to a fundraiser with the World Health and getting involved with the Granite Games and the Lions Cup. And so my board of directors and the community understand that we're all in this together. And yes, I'm running a dental insurance company, but I just love this. To me, this is all population health. And you mentioned sort of the disproportionate stars that we have. I know the now retired Coach Pinkham, one of your rivals, his grandson, I think, has an affiliation now with the, you know, Major League Soccer, and he played very
Chris Pinkham
on UNH that went really far in Division I soccer. So what are some of the other trends in New Hampshire soccer? I know for a while there was a concern that some of the academies were taking, you know, players away. And I always felt that one of the happiest moments of your life is if you're a senior and you're on a pretty good team, kind of that flow, you know, in the fall, and you have the whole community behind you, and maybe you don't get that in the academy, although you may have to go to the academy to get it to the next level. So what are some of the trends that you see?
Well, you know, the academy, the premier club team, the AAU team, you know, these are outsized influences in basketball and in hockey and in several other sports, less so in soccer, just because there are so many great players that there will be a number who play academy instead of high school. For some of them, it's absolutely the right choice. One of the best players to come out of Hanover in the last 5 years never played a minute at Hanover High School. And now he is a star starting player as a sophomore for the University of Washington, one of the top four programs in the country. And we've loved it. We have rooted him on. For him, it was the best choice. And Hanover doesn't seem to have suffered too much competitively for his absence. And fortunately, unlike, you know, there's a proliferation of elite hockey teams, which is really draining the sport of hockey. So there's more of an influence in other sports maybe than there is in soccer. And we're grateful for that. And it actually sometimes makes us partners and helps us cooperate with these academy teams. And that may be another reason why there isn't the balkanization of soccer that you see in some areas.
Yeah, in soccer, I view it as more complementary with an E, you know, to high school soccer. And you're right. Never heard Hanover's competitiveness. You've been, of course, Division II. You dominated for many years and then moved up to Division I, and you were either a finalist or the winner many times. So quickly, in 30 seconds, and then we'll put a final plug in for the Lions Club. Division I, who are the four teams to watch in high school soccer this year, this fall?
Oh, Nashua North, two-time champion. Hard to not start with. Or Nashua South, Nashua North. A real team on the rise, Manchester Central, because they're there every year. And I'll throw the Hanover Bears in as a fourth, just
absolutely,
to round things out.
And I'll throw in for Jay, I'll throw in Concord. Okay, so the Lions Cup, July 15th, Hanover High School. You can buy tickets at the door, correct,
Reverend? Absolutely. It's a great walk-up event, so you don't have to worry about advance tickets. But get there early. It's going to be very popular this year.
And the competition is great. You'll see a bunch of Delta Dental employee colleagues there. Rob, thank you for all you do for New Hampshire and for life. J-Dog.
Rob Grable, the host, the guest rather this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio, then coach of Hanover High School boys soccer. He'll be involved, of course, in the Lions Cup, which is coming up. Tom and Rob talked about that Saturday, July 15th at Hanover High School. It is the women's game will start at 1 p.m. and then the men's will start at 4 p.m. In addition to that, of course, he is the Reverend Rob Grable, an associate pastor at the Church of Christ at Dartmouth College. So a lot of titles,
all worthy of him, though.
All worthy, you know, absolutely. I want to make that in point of fact. No, all worthy causes and everything.
And the best part is he's a great human being. So
absolutely,
Rob, it always goes by too fast, but we'll get you on again and offline. We definitely have to have a conversation. And looking forward to your next book.
Amen. Eager to talk with you after this is over and we're gearing up toward the fall high school season.
Absolutely.
Thank you both.
All right.
Thank you. For the Reverend Rob Grable, as well as Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I'm J-Dog. We'll have another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire next time.